Donna.
Martha.
Oh, hi.
Are you still in Dallas?
No, ma'am. I came back yesterday.
Oh.
I'm home for a little while.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
How are you both?
Good, thank you.
Good, thank you.
You're in section 13. Section 13, Pasuk 180. We'll start with the Lashon Yichud. And this is the Parashat Vayera on the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. Lashem Yichud, Kud Shabrichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urhimu, Hilu, Udhilu, Urhimu. Leakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vahino, Amadunai Elohino, Elena Maseya, Deno Kanane, Elena Maseya, Deno Kananehu. Pasuk 180. We loan the may bad, Elia hey loan. Eat home pet, leave nay. Na shava eat room. The phone e nun. Cotton. Will I mask your hay, le istamara. Elia hey laya. The me dot ina. The kudsha barichu, itcha defuma, legabaihu, uvame, itchuva viovadin, the kashran. The translation, and the righteous should act accordingly, to prevent other people from complaining about the Holy One, blessed be He, and warn them that if they sin and do not guard themselves, the attribute of judgment of the Holy One, blessed be He, might have a reason to accuse them. And how may they escape this attribute of judgment? By repenting and performing good deeds. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. This pasuk is expressing a spiritual law of connection to Hashem. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm just not around people that accuse Hashem. So,
you don't think people accuse Hashem?
Well, not the ones that are around me. I don't hear them. Oh, they may think, you know, I don't know why this happened to me. Or, but as far as saying God did this, I don't hear that kind of talk. I used to hear complaints. You know, how did God allow the Shoah, that kind of thing. But I think we've gotten over that hump for several years, at least the people that I saw or were around. And I think when people get into hot spots, big troubles, I don't think they look at, you don't hear them voicing, well, what did you do that caused this? You know, they don't seem to know about cause and effect, and mostly people go to their aid. Now, what you see on TV, that's a different story. But here in our town, I don't see it.
Always remember that what you see is within you. So if you're not seeing it, it's an indication it's not within you. So you stopped, if you ever did, complain in the sense that does Hashem run the world? If Hashem runs the world, then that hurricane or that tropical storm is his fault, isn't it? God forbid. And there are many different levels of the same idea. As you said, people still blame God for the Shoah. I don't know if you've ever met a survivor of the Shoah, but there are many who did blame God. And there was a lot of work done to try and help them overcome it.
For the last, I'd say, 10 years, every year we have a Shoah survivor come to the city, and they'll have several days activities at the college where it's open to the public, and then we usually have something at the synagogue as well. You know, there's we're all those.
It's very, it's very much part of the programming and the in the various organizations to do that.
Yeah. And usually it's very good. The persons they have that come and speak and have experienced. I know I haven't gone the last 2 years because it's difficult for me to get around, but before that time I made every one of them, and I mean it was people of all religions together. At that time, Lake Charles wasn't as big as it is now. In the last couple of years, it has really zoomed up because of them opening a new refinery here. I'd say maybe 6 years ago, someone desecrated the gate of the synagogue courtyard, and the various religions of the city got together and came and scrubbed it, you know. So far we haven't, in this locality anyway, we've been fortunate.
Well, Hashem, but other localities have not been as fortunate. And the consciousness of that it's God's fault is still prevalent in the world. And that is one of the tools of Satan, where we don't accept our responsibility. Pasuk 181. Tahatse wiha Hashem Amar Ham Kase Anime Avraham Amar Rabbi Yehuda Uchabrihu Yahav Kol Ara Le Avraham Lamehewe Le Yahzanat Yeru Tav Leal Min Dikti ki et kol haaretz asher ata roeh lecha et nana vegomer uktiv sana inecha ureh uvatar kudsha berichu itzterich le'akara atrin ilein Amar kutshabrihu kivar yahavit yat ara le Avraham wehu abba lekola itiv ki av amon goim netaticha wilaya ot li lemeim he Benin lao dale avuton dekarit leya Avraham o havi ugin kachit sterich leoda leya begin kach washem amar ham kase Ani eme Abraham, Asher ani Yosef. The translation. Come and see. And Hashem said, shall I hide from Abraham? Rabbi Yehuda said, the Holy One, blessed be He, has given the entire land to Abraham as an everlasting heritage, as it is written, for all the land which you see, to you I give it, as well as lift up your eyes and see. Later, when the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to uproot and destroy these places, namely Sodom and Amorah, He said, I have already given the land to Abraham, and he is the father of them all. As it is written, for a father of a multitude of nations have I made you. So it is not fitting for me to smite the children without informing their father, whom I have called Abraham, my friend. Therefore I must inform him. Thus, and Hashem said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comment, the pasuk is clear as written. How does this teaching apply to your life today? Do you want to be informed of Hashem's actions in the world? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, my answer to your question is yes.
Well, are you willing to be informed, even if it's not as clearly as this is my reason for doing it? You just want to be informed what is going to happen? There are different levels, different parts of the process.
I think we are informed.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm sorry. I think we are informed if we read the Torah and his word. It pretty much says what the blessings and curses are. And we can see it. I have taken a lot more interest or a lot more observant and the patterns that are happening with the hurricanes, the floods. I think I mentioned this quite some time ago about how they're saying they're taking God out of everything in these different states, these different figures, taking God out of their state and said, you know, we don't need God. We're in control. Da 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 da. And if you notice, then the events that happen, it be from one spectrum to the other, in the state, you can kind of see the blessings and the curses. And maybe not to the extreme that that Hashem has his plan, you know, for mankind. But you can actually see the occurrence of the blessings and the curses, basically, and within yourself as well. It's not just from a territorial standpoint; it's from a mankind point as well.
Well said. You can see it. He is telling us.
You just have to
He's
look for it. You have.
Go ahead, Malka.
I'm finished. Okay.
By reading Hashem's Torah, we are given direction, and you can then relate it to what's happening in the world around you. But the majority of our generation does not do that.
Absolutely. And that's with, you know, Hannah's, you know, researching these storms, which is a great thing. And she's given us insight on how to handle the storms. And, you know, prayer is very powerful. and you can redirect. And I'm learning from Hannah that you can redirect.
You can redirect the natural disasters. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the ultimate miracle?
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate miracle is that you didn't see it happen. Because
right.
It didn't happen. Because you changed it.
Right.
I was one of the children watch the news, and you want to hear what the meteorologist is saying, but you don't take it as that it's going to happen that way. You know, you have to stay informed, but at the same time, you expect to see, you don't expect to see those results, that it has to be the way the meteorologists are predicting. And it doesn't mean
right.
that it's not going to cause destruction, you know. It's just a lot of things. I mean, today with seeing what's happening in Seattle, and I just saw just a little bit, so I can't really tell a whole lot, but after having seen since Passover about the plague being the fifth plague, you know, kind of correlating to the virus, and then the locusts, after seeing my 72 name three or four times, three straight in a row lessons that we had, and linked that to locusts, they were like, you know, an archetype of animal behavior in our human society and in us. And then today, I just, you know, I'm still sorting papers, and I happened to read Exodus 8, and there was my 72 name again two times. So looking at it, it had to do with gnats. And I thought, when you look to see today what's happening with that group in Seattle, they're young and they're just popping up from, you know, they're not an outside group zooming in to destroy and loot. These are young people from our own little group. And I thought, oh, that's an archetype of the gnats. So, I think Hashem is showing us, and I think it's an awesome thing when you say, well, he called Abraham his friend, and that we can have that kind of relationship with the creator of the universe.
Well, it was a beautiful verse for Abraham, and that he had to inform Abraham and didn't want to hide what he was going to do. I think that's mm-hmm. just amazing that Hashem would come to Abraham and inform him.
Are we the inheritors of the earth? Did Hashem gift us the earth?
To take care of it,
exactly, to work it and to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens, it's only natural that he does inform us. The issue is, do we take the time to hear him, to listen, to know it, to observe it, to read it, study it? Most of us don't, and that's the shame of it all.
I think we have. I'm trying to understand the inheritance of the earth. I understand what y'all are just saying. Yes, we are the keepers of the earth. But ultimately, it's his, because he gives the earth its Sabbath as well. So where we as humans, even if we don't do that, he makes sure that the earth has its Sabbath, or his you know, Jubilee or the, you know, the 7-year sabbatical, whatever that may be. I forget exactly what the time frame is on that. But if they don't give it, then they just spew out. He just vomits them out of the, you know, of the territory, you know, so that the earth could have its rest as well. I think we're just keepers. Are we the inheritance of it? I don't know. I have to really think about that word.
Read this verse again. I'll read it in English. Verse 181. And Hashem said, shall I hide from Abraham? Rabbi Yehuda said, the Holy One, blessed be He, has given the entire land to Abraham as an everlasting heritage. Isn't that
heritage.
What you said?
Heritage, okay. I was thinking, I thought it was inheritance is what you were saying, but heritage, is that two different meanings? Inheritance and heritage?
Inheritance means it was given to you. A heritage means that it's a gift, but you have an obligation.
Okay. All right.
That would be like an example of your father having a business, and then when he retires, he hands you the business, but you've got to do the work.
Yeah, but
exactly.
In Abraham's time, you can't sell off that land, I guess, because it always comes back to you, right? In Israel, the portion of land that was given to the tribe. Okay.
Every 50 years, that's what the Jubilee, it was returned to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. It says, the English word here is the entire land. Now, I have extended that rather than just be the land of Israel. I have extended it and say it's the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I also mean that I'm including all of the 70 nations, not just the children of Israel. So, yes, there's an exaggeration, there's an extension, but I think that's appropriate from our reading of the verse of the Torah itself.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certainly room to disagree with that. But with respect, if we narrow it back into the idea that the land of Israel is a heritage for the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were exiled for 2,000 years. We were exiled for 2,000 years. So did we lose the heritage? The land went fallow. The descriptions of the land at the beginning of the 1900s, and then after the first waves of immigration back into the land, buying the land from certain Arabs, you know, removing the swamp water, draining the swamp water, you know, cultivating the land and reworking it. The children of Israel rebuilt the land that had gone fallow, reinvigorated the land with their energy.
I think it's like a
now
process.
We have all the,
oh, I'm sorry.
It is a process.
You know.
I was done.
Well, I'm trying to think that when I lost my train of thought. It was something that Ari had done. Had said one of the lessons that maybe it'll come back to me. I've lost it.
Understood.
I guess.
We're,
I guess.
Go ahead, Maka.
guess that's why I'm questioning the inheritance and heritage and the land is to rest, because it was desolate for, like you said, 2,000 years. Although there were still some people
there. There's always been children of Israel in the land.
Right, okay. Right. So, okay.
But they weren't working the land.
Right.
For those 2,000 years, they weren't working the land. They were sitting in Jerusalem and in Haifa and in Jaffa, and they were studying Torah.
Huh.
And they were receiving stipends from in charity from people outside of Israel. That's how they lived. They were studying Torah, and they were being paid to study Torah, in effect.
So were they tending to the spiritual?
Well, no, they couldn't. Legally, they couldn't own land. So they didn't work the land. The 400 years under the Ottoman Empire, they could not own land. And before that, it was whoever controlled the land ever since the Crusades. And the Arabs took over the land, and you know, the Jews were always in exile. And even though the modern state of Israel exists, there's still a level of understanding that even though you live in Israel today, you're still in exile. You can live in the physical land of Israel, but it's not the Jewish Torah state that is envisioned in the prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
therefore,
is a big step.
Even in the land, you're still in exile. Although there is a change. The change in 1948, the change in 1967. The change that's continuing. The cycle continues. But we are out of time.
Okay, that was my thought when we learned that the generation, they had to make bricks because they had been from the generation of the Tower of Babel. So you could see it in the process of trying to get us back to where eventually we get back to the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And where is the Garden of Eden?
Here.
It is the physical earth.
Yeah.
The garden is the whole of the earth.
The garden is what?
The Garden of Eden is the whole earth. The physical Garden of Eden is the whole earth. You see it in the those pictures that they show of Wuhan in China with all this pollution, and they shut it down without any human activity for a few weeks, maybe a few months, and now in 2 months the air pollution is all gone. It's clearly human activity that hurts the earth, and it will be human activity that will cleanse the earth.
And I guess you can say if there's at least 10 of us, would you save it, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Do you have a good evening? We have a Zohar class at 7, and I apologize for not. I was involved in something today, and it just slipped right past me. I woke up and wasn't sleeping, but I woke up to the fact that I'd missed the class, so I apologize.
Okay.
all have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Yes.